Donald Trump has picked Rex Tillerson, CEO of ExxonMobil, as U.S. Secretary of State. He also named Scott Pruitt to head the Environmental Protection Agency, somebody who has led efforts against some of the EPA's initiatives, most notably to curb greenhouse gas emissions from power plants. I spoke with Steve Horn, research fellow for DSmogBlog.com, a source for fact-based information regarding global warming misinformation campaigns. He also works as a freelance investigative journalist based in Indianapolis. Steve says Trump's climate energy team is no surprise due to the interest of Trump's transition team. Climate deniers are now picking Trump's energy team, people whose careers have been funded by corporations such as ExxonMobil and Koch Industries.
Well, so the Trump campaign, leading into now his transition team, has called the cabinet that he's picking a quote-unquote cabinet of winners. But it's looking like the only winners coming out of this are going to be the oil and gas industry, the coal industry, and the climate denial cottage industry, which have been marginalized, really ridiculed, obviously has some traction with the general public from years of doing what they've done and having the influence they've had in the media, but was pretty marginalized under the Obama administration. Now these very climate deniers are actually vetting and picking everyone who's on Trump's climate and energy team. So just as much of a story as is who the picks are, the people who have been making the picks, and that is various names that are affiliated with think tanks that are funded by Koch Industries, that are funded by or have been funded by ExxonMobil, et cetera. And so these very people have been picking the names that are much more probably sort of a, his cabinet sort of reflection of what happens in society at large is you have these kind of this money that's going to, that's coming from big business interests that are actually it's serving their interests, but it's actually the, you know, these people that are fronting for them that are making the picks. Basically, the cabinet's very much a reflection of that, but the opposite is that people who are we're seeing less are affiliated with those front groups that are now picking the companies. They're literally the executives of companies that have funded their careers. And so it's not at all surprising that we've seen someone like Pruitt picked, given who was doing the picking. And then, again, I think it's a little more shocking that we actually see a CEO of a major company like ExxonMobil running the Department of State. But at the same time, if it wasn't him, it was going to be someone that served that company's interest, given who was on the transition team and who was involved in the Trump campaign in the months leading into him winning on November 8th. So that's sort of the big picture.
ExxonMobil is currently under investigation by multiple attorney generals for allegedly misleading investors and the public about the effects of climate change and denying their involvement in climate change research. Inside Climate News came out with an investigative report that outlines Exxon's engagement with climate change science. Steve gives us some more information regarding Exxon's involvement with manufacturing skepticism about climate change.
Yeah, so Exxon, although now is known as sort of a moderate compared to the coal industry, for example, in that it doesn't overtly sort of espouse climate change denial as a company, actually they're stance is a carbon tax. That's what they say that they support, so therefore they acknowledge climate change and the need for some kind of carbon tax. But historically, there's two threads going on at once. Exxon actually was doing the cutting edge research on climate change dating back to decades ago, which was revealed by both originally by the Los Angeles Times and reporters affiliated with Columbia University, and then Inside Climate News, and both of which did several stories that grew into now something that's a meme, Exxon knew, and that is Exxon knew a lot about climate change, but what they did was something completely contrary to that. They knew about climate change, but they funded climate change denial for decades to the tune of, between 1998 to 2014, $33 million of funding various groups that do similar messaging or similar studies, if you want to call them that, on climate denial. And so the persona of that now, and I know he will be peppered with this in his congressional hearings with questions and this research on their funding of climate change now, is Rex Tillerson, who, although he was more associated with the company in their quote-unquote carbon tax era, they're still affiliated with climate change denial entities such as the American Legislative Exchange Council, as the prime example, a group that, as a group, denies climate change and blocks climate solutions, but has Exxon as one of its key funders in the energy and climate space, and other groups like the State Policy Network, another one that's actually kind of affiliated with Alex. So at the state level, Exxon is still working to often block climate change solutions, which in its own way is a form of climate change denial, even if it's not sort of overt. But they're also literally still funding climate denial, even though they say that they've transitioned away from that in the past decade. So I expect that to be something that Tillerson is questioned heavily on in his congressional hearing by Democrats, while he's questioned heavily even by Republicans about his ties to Vladimir Putin and to oil operations in that country.
Waterkeeper Alliance, a nonprofit focused on protecting everyone's right to clean water, submitted a petition calling on the Environmental Protection Agency to end all of its federal contracts with ExxonMobil.
Yeah, the Waterkeeper Alliance did this very long report. It's over 500 pages, and about one-tenth of that is the actual substantive report, which has a lot of footnotes, and the other 450 pages are all the exhibits that they present. And basically, the report and the exhibits present the public, as the report would kind of shows, is more or less a corporate rap sheet on ExxonMobil, whether it's in the climate denial space, funding the climate denial machine, the whole Exxon News saga. But going beyond that, it's also Exxon's sort of pollution record, using ETA government data to show its various plants around the United States are highly polluting or have harmed workers, looking at OSHA, Occupational Safety Hazardous Administration, looking at all this different government data, putting it together in one report and saying, because of this track record, we believe, even before Trump takes office, the Obama White House should basically stop doing, the White House should tell the EPA to stop doing business with the company ExxonMobil. And it's definitely a long shot. Obviously, they have like a month left in office, but the point is to present, I think, from their perspective, probably to present the public with just a long report that documents sort of the things that Exxon has done in the past couple of decades. It focuses much more domestically rather than globally. There's a whole other global story to be told about Exxon as a massive global multinational corporation. There's a book about them called Private Empire, which outlines that. But this report focuses much more on their domestic track record, which might not be quite as relevant during the Department of State, Secretary of State hearings, but definitely is a key episode in that particular company's history.
Bill McKibben, environmental activist, author, and journalist, wrote a piece for The Nation called How the Active Many Can Overcome the Ruthless Few. He talks about the importance of building a nonviolent resistant movement in the fight against climate change.
Yeah, well, I would say that it's important for people that have the long view on environmental and climate change issues, and looking at an agency, say, like the EPA, that was actually created by not a Democrat, but actually by a Republican president, Richard Nixon, because of grassroots pressure to do something about pollution issues. A lot of the key laws that are now environmental law in the United States were created during this era by the EPA, which was a creation of the Nixon administration. That's because there were grassroots movements. This was a very turbulent time in the United States, maybe somewhat parallel to what we're going through right now. And even under Republican president that is now, you know, kind of pointed to as one of the most controversial, most hated presidents in U.S. history. You saw a progressive thing like the EPA being created to deal with, you know, environmental issues. Climate change wasn't as much on the radar back then. I was still very early in the era of studying that issue, but environmental issues and the EPA was created by Nixon. So that should prove to people that grassroots pressure can create positive outcomes even under tough times, the tough administration. So looking at Trump, maybe, you know, his daughter, Ivanka Trump, she is seen as someone who at least cares somewhat about climate change. Maybe there's some hope there if people are pushing the right buttons and strategizing in the right way. So there's definitely a historical precedent for it. That's a long story short.
Reporting for KCSB, I'm Kendra Lee.